Okay, small group leaders, let's talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, having worked with leaders in so many different capacities, so many different places for so many years. And it's what I call the subject, when you're not the one in charge. Because, you know, in the local church, somebody's carrying this vision forward. Somebody's responsible for this. Somebody's going to be the pastor. And at whatever level of spiritual authority we find ourselves, there's going to be somebody that's looking over what we do. And we're just not ultimately the one going to be the one that's in charge. Let me start with this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Paul said this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Well, there's already plenty of sounding brass and more than enough tinkling cymbals among us. Lots of that in God's church. Even the term mountain moving is not really as great as it sounds. It was actually just used frequently by the Jews in referring to those in their religious circles that could overcome obstacles. They seemed to be good at what they did, so they were mountain movers. Sometimes we make a little bit too much out of that term. According to our faith, we want to move mountains, but it's really not quite as great as we make it out to be. Rabbis were often referred to as those that could pluck up mountains. More than trying to prove our self-worth, really we should be more concerned with the ministry that God has given us by His grace. So no matter which level of leadership we find ourselves, there's always going to be somebody else in charge above us somewhere. What we do, however, doesn't come from personal importance. It comes by His grace. And looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote above, then we need to notice that real ministry is founded upon agape, is founded upon love. His love and His favor move us to true servanthood and ministry to others. So when we think about being useful in the kingdom, then let's consider the following points and practice these. After all, John said, he that loves not knows not God, because God is love. But notice that Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, to talk about that kind of agape love. He tells us that love patiently endures through all and that it's kind. In other words, it's automatically oriented to helping somebody else. It's automatically directed towards compassion for someone else. It has a target. Love has a target. The God that loves us for our betterment. He's always trying to make our lives better in His view. Paul said that love is not envious, but it seeks the betterment of others. And these are two opposing forces. You can't be envious and at the same time seek the betterment of others. It's going to be one or the other. And real love seeks the betterment of somebody else. Love, Paul said, is not boastful, nor does it need applause for what it does. And in fact, often it seems to go without recompense at all. We just do it because God moves us. Paul said that love is not inflated with self-importance. He said that love doesn't suppose evil when it's not present. He told us that love rejoices in truth and not in unrighteousness. Love makes things better. It doesn't make things worse. And finally, he said, love never really ends. You know, as we're called, as small group leaders, as we're called into new levels of leadership, and you need to be able to convey this to people in your groups as they show that they're members of your nucleus in the church and that they're aspiring towards more and they're aspiring to more spiritual ministry and finally a place of leadership, we need to be careful concerning our relationship with those that will be in charge. People need to learn this. They need to be shown that we're not, you know, when we're working under a senior leader, we need to let them know that we're not a threat to them in any way. We're not trying to get their position. We're not trying to outshine them. That's not the love of God that moves in our hearts. We're not trying to threaten their position. We're not trying to intimidate their importance or their popularity in front of the others. We're not a threat to them in any way. We need to show them that we can simply make a meaningful contribution to the cause and somehow make things better all around. We need to convince them, our leaders, the ones that are in charge, that we're not concerned with who gets the credit for the good results in the future. In Luke chapter 17, in verse number 5, after a lengthy discourse on subjects such as forgiveness and stewardship and restoration, the apostles were moved enough to ask the Lord to increase their faith. I'm sure that many of you have asked the same question. Lord, how can I increase my faith? Maybe a better question, however, might be this. For what? Increase my faith for what? To what end do we need more faith? Well, Jesus' answer is a simple one. To be a mountain mover or to pluck up a tree is one thing, but to have the faith for service in the kingdom of God is certainly another. In fact, the answer is much more than this. Verses 7 through 10 of that passage in Luke 17 describe what Jesus calls an unprofitable servant. The word for unprofitable is actually the word akrios, meaning useless. What is often missed is the obvious need that's right in front of us. Why aren't we doing what's right in front of us? Why aren't we addressing the need that's right in front of us? What's often missed are these obvious needs that God places right in front of us and that He asks us quietly, what will you do about this? Our answer needs to be that we do what needs to be done. And usually it's not a great mystery. It's not always a mountain-moving experience, but it's real ministry motivated by real compassion and a real willingness to serve. There's a deep principle to be learned here. And you can learn it in small groups, and you can learn it in small group ministry, and you can learn it in leading others, and that's this. Real leadership precedes position. Real leadership precedes position. You don't become a leader because of a position. You'll find a position because you're a real leader. That's the attitude of Luke 17:10. Therefore, we can actually, and in a good sense, kind of position ourselves for future usefulness by being attendant to the present needs for ministry. What's in front of me now? What opportunities for ministry are present now? What can I do to make a contribution now? Clear it with the senior leaders if it's necessary. Communicate with them what you'd like to do, what you see to do. Communicate accurately what you're doing now. And let them call you in, and along with God, call you into greater usefulness and greater spiritual authority if they so desire. But do what needs to be done now. Do what God shows you to do now. Open the next door by doing what needs to be done now. Pastors should clearly delineate this in their churches. In doing so, they'll be revealing the kind of leaders and potential leaders that they're looking for. It becomes finally a pattern before the congregation, and soon the entire church membership will see what real ministry is and what sacrifice is required for that kind of ministry and what fulfilling joy is found in being a part of it. Yeah, we won't always be the one in charge, and it's not always good, it's not always a happy experience to be the one that's ultimately in charge. But while we're in leadership and not ultimately the one in charge, let's make sure that our contribution is done unselfishly with 1 Corinthians 13 in mind. As, maybe even as Jesus described, simply with an attitude that the best we can be is an unprofitable servant on our own, but inspired and driven and motivated and empowered by God, who can ultimately tell what we can accomplish with Him in His harvest field? Your small groups can be a cultivating bed of that kind of spirit. They can shine for Jesus, and you can produce people that are mature and strong in the Spirit and finally place themselves in God's view to a call to real spiritual leadership. Love patiently endures and is kind. It's not envious. It doesn't seek bettering self. It seeks the betterment of others. It's not boastful. It doesn't need applause. It's not inflated with self-importance. It doesn't suppose evil. It rejoices in truth. It makes things and people better. And it never ends. Praise God, Antioch West. What a tremendous opportunity in front of you. Let's get after God's business right now with what He's given us to do. In Jesus' name.